Now, the Wealth Protection Diva is a successful entrepreneur, business owner, and premier business strategist, president and CEO of Sage International Incorporated, and a national speaker, best-selling author, and motivational teacher of financial education, business development, and wealth protection strategies. The joys and frustrations of being a business owner. Her insights are motivating. Her frankness inspiring. Here is Sherry Hill.
Starting a business can be challenging even in the best economic climate. To succeed, an entrepreneur needs courage, knowledge, foresight, good advice, plenty of determination, and a little bit of luck. Every day, millions of people dream of starting a business. Every day, thousands of entrepreneurs turn their dreams of starting a business into reality. What is the difference between those who dream about it and those who do it? My guest, Fred Carey, with over 25 years of experience as a senior executive, strategic consultant, attorney, and investment banker, has a proven track record of building global companies from startup stage through exit by IPO or merger and acquisition. He is currently the CEO of Idea Pros, a company that creates world-class entrepreneurs and helps them turn their ideas into profitable ventures. The website is ideapros.com. Fred, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm really happy to be here. Excited to talk to you today.
Yeah. So I taught business planning through the Nevada Small Business Development Center for years and realized early on that first I had to help my students figure out if they're cut out to be an entrepreneur. Fred, does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. You have to have a certain level of crazy to be able to do this successfully, for sure.
Yeah. So when we talk about, you know, you help people come with, they have an idea. I mean, millions of people have ideas, but how do you work with people through your company, Idea Pros, to really flesh out that idea, figure out if they're cut out to be an entrepreneur? But more important, you know, is this something that someone would want to invest in or buy?
Yeah. You know, as you said, everybody has an idea, right? Everybody, in fact, I would venture to say that most people listening at least once in their life woke up in the middle of the night with what they thought was an idea that was going to change the world. And we close our eyes, roll over, go back to sleep. And that's all we do with it. The ability to take that and do something with it, it's the same thing as being a great gardener and having a seed in your hand and knowing exactly what it's going to take to turn that seed into an oak tree or a complete crop or whatever it is. There's a lot of perseverance, dedication, extremely long hours without pay. There's a whole lot of things that you need to do before you can take that raw idea and bring it to a point where you can monetize it or people will invest in it.
Yeah, and that's one of the other key things I learned through all my years of working with entrepreneurs is the idea is great, but unless you really develop a vision, you mentioned it, I always mentioned it, it was always the first question I asked in class was, how are you going to change the world? So that vision, how hard is it for you, because people go, oh, I have this thing that's going to solve X, but they don't really know where they're going to take their company, how they're going to change the world. So how do you kind of flush that out for people?
That's kind of the second step in the process, or the first step in the process is really educating people just how hard and how impossible it is. And yet that's where all the glory lies in being able to get this done. So I think I use an analogy to educate people. Basically, I'll talk about the fact that if you were asked to coach professional sports teams and you started asking questions and the people that wanted you to coach the team didn't know the rules of the game, didn't know the other players, didn't know their strengths and weaknesses, didn't know how many players you could get for yourself or how many people are going to be in the stadium and how to get them to become your loyal fans. That's exactly how many of us go into business. We have this idea, we don't have an infrastructure around us, and we just, you know, ready, shoot, aim approach towards this. And so the educational process is the first step. The second step is doing all the heavy lifting, strategic marketing investigation, your market size and opportunity, your competitive landscape, what are the weaknesses, what do the customers really want, how are you going to be able to exploit those weaknesses and build a company that is not, you know, 1% of a $100 billion industry, as a lot of first-time entrepreneurs like to talk about, how are you going to make a meaningful impact and become a relevant player in this space. It's a lot of heavy lifting first to really understand the game you're playing and the tools you have and how you're going to win.
Yeah, I always said to a lot of, I still say it today, I mean, the first thing you need in business is a customer, right? Then you go find your desk and your all your other stuff. It's always fun because you, like me, we deal with so many entrepreneurs out there. I'm always fascinated by what people are doing, you know, their ideas and how they want to convert that into a business. Don't you find that innovation and creativity is still hugely alive and well here, not just in the United States, but around the world?
Not only is it alive, but it's turning into a real monster, right? With the advances in AI, that we're still at the real infancy of something that's going to completely change our world. Within 5 years, the world will be a completely different place. Right now, it's a very powerful toy, and some people are using it successfully in business. But you know, things like that are going to continue not only to happen, but to happen at a rate that we have not been accustomed to historically. So innovation is key for any endeavor that you want to do. And not only innovate when you're doing it, but innovate after you're successful, quote unquote, after you got a whole bunch of customers, after you're growing quickly. I always tell my clients that first thing we want to worry about is how we can make you obsolete. Like, you should be constantly thinking about what things are going to make what I'm doing obsolete. And you start creating those things before your competitors think of them.
Yeah. And it's so much fun to see what people are working on. When you really boil down, how do you build that beginning infrastructure of any business? It's pretty common, right? I mean, you need people, number one. You need the right people. And I imagine I learned this, you know, many years ago from some of my mentors about when you're going out and you want to raise capital. I mean, the first thing they're looking at is you, the business owner, right? They're not so much about what is this product or service. Are you bankable? Do you still find that true?
Yeah, and it may not be the first question, but it's certainly the last question before they write the check. You know, if you're going to be dealing with somebody who's going to come in as an investor, as an example, they really need to understand everything about the market, the growth, the opportunity, their investment, what are they paying, how much they're paying, what are they going to get as a return, when are they going to get it. And once they bought into all those things, fundamentally, it comes down to you. Are you the person that's going to be able to deliver that to me? And if not, even if I like all the other things, I'm walking.
Yeah, and that, I think a lot of people don't understand that. I know one of the things you talk about, you have a great blog. You have a lot of really awesome resources on your website, ideapros.com. And one of the things you talk about, one of the things I've always talked about, is the ability to surround yourself with the right team, whether that's employees, advisors, things like that. Talk about how vital that is, especially if you're trying to go out and raise capital.
If you're trying to raise capital and you have some sort of technology company without a CTO, then forget about it. But the reality is, there has never been a company that I've ever started, and I started 10 before I started IdeaPros, where I didn't benefit from having people smarter than me working in the relative roles of an organization. You know, one of the things we think about, like entrepreneurs and leaders, we think of them as kind of being the same, but they're polar opposites. Because when you start your journey as an entrepreneur, you're doing it all by yourself. you're doing everything from answering emails to doing sales calls to trying to figure out how to advertise, handling operations things, and literally you're doing it all. And to transition from that to a leader is a big, huge leap of faith that we don't want to let go of those strings. We're so used to controlling everything, we don't want to let go of it. But the reality is the best companies survive not just because of what that entrepreneur is able to do, he or she. It's because of the team that you surround yourself with. You know, for every part of your organization, if you can surround yourself with superstars, you're going to have a much, much bigger chance of making it, and you'll become a lot more investable.
Well, and you're going to have a lot more fun, right? Because we don't create success by ourselves.
Right. Well, some days you're going to have a lot more fun.
Right. Exactly. I'm speaking with Fred Carey. He is the CEO of Idea Pros. We have to go to break. We come back. We're going to pick up on this conversation about how to really take your idea and turn it into something that's going to make you have the life you want. We'll be right back.
Sage International Incorporated fosters the entrepreneurial spirit by first educating our clients. In fact, we wrote the best-selling book, Incorporate and Get Rich, as recommended by Robert Kiyosaki in his bestseller, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. For over two decades, we have taught thousands of business owners, real estate investors, professionals, and entrepreneurs how to properly structure their business and personal assets to avoid the three flaming arrows of challenge: income taxes, liability exposure, probate, and death taxes. Call Sage International Incorporated at 775-786-5515 to set up a free 30-minute consultation with Sherry Hill if you want to experience peace of mind today. That's 775-786-5515. Call Sage International.
Attention, restaurant and bar owners. Don't let your profits go down the drain. Call Rapid Rooter Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365.
People call us. It's usually a plumbing emergency. I hear things like, "Help, we're underwater," or "The wedding party starts in an hour. The bathrooms don't work."
Call Rapid Rooter, 775-322-4124. Emergency Commercial Plumbing, 24/7, 365. RapidRooterNV.com.
Natakwa News. Pick up your copy today. Natakwa.
There are only two things keeping you from having the life you want: knowing how to turn your good idea into a world-class app or product, and learning what it takes to be a killer entrepreneur that investors are dying to back. My guest, Fred Carey, CEO of Idea Pros, can teach you both. Their website, ideapros.com. So, Fred, we've been talking a lot about, you know, what does it take to be an entrepreneur, laying that foundation. One of the things that I think a lot of people really don't understand is when it's their turn to speak, to do their pitch, what is required if you want to go out and raise capital. I mean, that's one of the things you're an expert in, and you've helped many companies to get that seed funding and beyond. So let's talk about that. What does it take for someone to prepare to give their pitch to an investor?
I think that the first thing you need to do is forget everything you've learned, because the inspiration that you're able to give yourself and others around you is totally contrary to what an investor wants to hear. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Right now, when we start something, we want to tell all our friends and anybody who will listen that this is revolutionary. This is going to change the world. And an investor, even an early stage investor that has a high tolerance for risk, doesn't want to help you with your revolution. The first thing they're going to want to know is, hey, how many revolutions have you led before? And the chances are it's going to be zero. Otherwise, you're not even going to have to take that meeting. They'll send you money if you've done it before. But so you lose the R in revolution. Investors want to hear evolution. You know, what does an investor want to hear to make their risk tolerance acceptable? They want to hear that you're in a market that is substantial, that's growing quickly, that has competitors that have proven up what you're trying to do, but they're missing something that all these customers really want and you have. That's a nice, sweet comfort zone for them. But we want to go out and we want to say we're revolutionary. We have no competitors. This is a brand new market. And those are all things that will keep you from getting your dream dollars that you need to turn that dream into reality. The other thing is, there's two others I'll get into if you don't mind. One is the fact that you need to be able to think like an investor. You know, an investor doesn't really want to hear about your dreams. They're not buying your dream. They're buying a certificate, a stock certificate. They're buying a piece of paper that gives them an ownership interest in what you're doing. So what does that mean? They're buying a financial document. They want to know why they're paying what they're paying for it, when they're going to be able to cash that in for money, how much money they are likely to make from it, and why are you the one that's going to be able to pull it all off? Those are all the things that, from an investor standpoint, they really have an interest in. And then the final thing that over 70% of the time, especially new entrepreneurs, forget to do, and that's ask for the money. You go, you put together this beautiful pitch deck, you have all these slides talking about how great your solution is, how you're going to control the marketplace. You have this rapid growth over the next 3 years. You have a good, solid team on your executive committee, and you thank everybody and walk out, and you never made the ask. You know, we want $1 million at a $10 million valuation, and whatever that ask is, we don't make it 70% of the time. It's unbelievable, but that's the case.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that you help entrepreneurs through your company Idea Pros. I mean, you kind of walk them through this whole process, do all the initial checklist, right, of, you know, who's your market, all that. Do you actually help people put together that pitch deck and train them on how to go out and ask for the money?
Oh, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We do. If you work with us, it's a lot of heavy lifting and a lot of hand holding that we do. We literally build out everything with your cooperation and assistance. We'll look at the entire market. We'll do everything: naming, branding, positioning, go-to-market strategies, set up three-year pro formas, really hone in on what a powerful pitch would be for your particular project, train you on that, and jump on an airplane with you and go up to Silicon Valley. And typically we pitch to at least 50 venture capital firms that are interested in pre-seed and seed level rounds. So we literally, we're doing things that I haven't found any other company out there that's doing exactly what we're doing. But it has proven to be very powerful. Now when I go up there with one of my companies, the VCs know that I've coached that company, positioned them, trained the entrepreneur. So they listen pretty intently because we've been really successful.
Yeah. So let's talk about kind of the flip side, right? Because I imagine, you know, coming up and talking to all these venture capitals, the airplane ride back is either one of celebration or one of sadness, right? Because not everybody wins. So talk about how you deal with people that maybe they do get that first round, but they're not successful. Failure, the big F word. How do you help people? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's talk about not getting the money. The very young female founder of Canva is now a billionaire. She went to more than 100 venture capital firms. Not one of them thought that there was any merit of her idea. The founders of Airbnb were trying to raise $150,000 at a $1.5 million valuation. Nobody would give them money because nobody believed that people would let strangers stay in their home. One VC actually said he didn't think that the market was big enough for that entity. And by the way, one of every $1,500 spent in the world is spent on Airbnb. But that seems like a pretty big market to me. And so the reason that those companies are billion-dollar-plus companies now and their founders are billionaires is because they didn't look at the failure word as a failure. They looked at it as an opportunity to learn a little bit more, do a little bit better, shift their deck up, make things more clear. And then Airbnb example, they went on and got $600,000 from Sequoia, I think a year later, with a very simple, very direct pitch deck that explained things in a way that even a VC can understand. And so the reality is, if you're going to be welcomed into this club, you need to embrace failure, because failure is a cornerstone to that journey that you're going to be on. It's like, you know, trying to get to a location and you come up to a stop sign. Well, you're not going to get to that location if you see the stop sign and turn around and head back home. You're only going to get to it by stopping and then driving on towards your destination. And entrepreneurship is that. It's a series of stop signs and red lights, and you need to understand that and navigate it. And don't look at yourself as a failure. Look at yourself as somebody who's going through this kind of trial by fire that we all have to go through when we create something new.
Absolutely. And that's really one of the key things is, as an entrepreneur, I mean, it's about perseverance, right? Determination. Yep. And for me, it was always, you know, no one's going to stop me, right? So if you say no, someone else may say yes, but you're right. Go back and figure out, what do I need to change up? What do I need to understand more? Fred, we just have a couple more minutes left. So, you know, just out there into the universe, what would you say to people right now that, as we mentioned earlier, everyone wakes up every day with some kind of an idea. How do I move that, if I'm serious, to the next level? What would you say to all those potential entrepreneurs?
Are you willing to give up your cushy 40-hour-a-week job with all the benefits that you have in the 401k you're building? Are you willing to give all that up to work 100 hours a week with no pay and no benefits? Because that's the first step of that journey. So I would say that if you can take that risk and be okay with that risk, then go for it. If having a failure or a setback or you start something and it's not going to monetize as fast as you think it's going to, if you cannot handle that sort of thing, don't do it. If you're a real entrepreneur, the last thing that you need from me or anybody else is desire and motivation. It's got to be in you. You've got to be waking you up at night. You have your notepad next to your bed, and you keep waking up and writing down the next thing that your app or your product's going to do. If you have that, then go for it. If you don't have that, stick where you are.
Yeah, and I've always said, to be an entrepreneur, you had to have been born with two guts, right? So, Fred, I'm in my clicking on to my 32nd year here as Sage International. Oh, yeah. So you can imagine, over 32 years running a very successful company, the highs and the lows, right? And so, like you run into a lot of people that are in their year whatever. And sometimes year 10 or 20 or 25, you get hit with things that challenge you more than you ever thought possible. Do you like to hang out with us seasoned entrepreneurs? We need people, right, to get us through.
Yeah. Lonely.
It doesn't end after year two, right? I mean, the fun, the challenges, the everything, it continues on, but it's fortitude and perseverance. And I always had to ask the question, who would hire me if I didn't have this company? Who would employ me? No one. I'm unemployable. Yeah. So I got to keep going.
Hey, I got to tell you this, because I've been asked several times, like, what was that initial inspiration that caused you to be a entrepreneur at age 20? And I woke up with the realization nobody was going to hire me because I was just, you know, I just was too independent. And my own thoughts. I was not going to be able to fit in whatever program people were going to try to put me in. So literally, I did it by force more than anything else.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank Fred. Thank you, Fred Carey, for being here with me today. His company, Idea Pros. Check out the website, ideapros.com. They've got all kinds of great information. If you want to learn more how to work with Fred, it's all there on his website. So thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's really, really good to speak with you.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to The Sherry Hill Show, where business is amplified.
The Sherry Hill Show values the role we play in supporting the economic engine driving this country. Small business, the backbone of America. And tune in next week, same time, same station, for The Sherry Hill Show.
This is Peter from Nevada Real Estate Radio. I talk about the subjects that help you as a home buyer, seller, or investor. Nevada Real Estate Radio, Thursdays, 3 p.m. on 93.7 FM. Nevada Real Estate Radio.